The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 19. And Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. O Lord, have mercy upon us." The second lesson is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. O Lord, have mercy upon us." The third lesson is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fourth lesson is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The fifth lesson is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own house. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The sixth lesson is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The seventh lesson is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The text was just read to you. The title of the sermon is, Where Did Jesus Come From? Our gospel lesson this evening was written to answer one simple question. Where did Jesus come from? The answer is more complicated than the question. It took four evangelists to get all the angles on the origins of Jesus and the Christmas story. Let's start with the evangelist Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 states, At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. When Jesus started preaching and healing in Galilee around the age of 30, that is all that people knew about him. He came from Nazareth. As he gained followers and performed ever more impressive miracles, people said, Where did he come from? I never heard of this Jesus before. True enough, he had not been born to a king or governor, to a priestly family, to a celebrity or scholar, or to some wealthy businessman. He seemingly came out of nowhere. And Mark tells us nothing else. The evangelist Luke tells the story of Jesus' origins that we're all familiar with, and we heard part of it today. This classic Christmas story starts with Zacharias and Elizabeth and the birth of their son, John the Baptist. Then it transitions to the meeting of the angel Gabriel and Mary, then their travel to Bethlehem, Jesus' birth, the shepherds and angels, finishing with the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple to Simeon and Anna. And it's interesting that in Luke, old folks are bookends to this story, with the birth of a baby in the middle, and that was intentional. The evangelist John tells the story of Jesus' origins in the divine Godhead. John calls Jesus the Logos, which is the Greek term for word. John's intent in calling Jesus the Logos is that it highlights Jesus' role as the person who reveals the words of the Father and the Holy Spirit. In other words, everything that Jesus ever said was the Word of God. John says that Jesus was with God before the creation of the universe, and that he was, in fact, God. John also says that all things in heaven and earth were created through him. So in terms of origins, Jesus came from God and is God, pure and simple. Finally, we come to our text from the evangelist Matthew. Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham, the father of the Jews, to Joseph, Jesus' legal father. Luke provides a slightly different genealogy in Luke chapter 3, 23 to 37. Luke's list probably describes Jesus' ancestors on his mother's side. When someone asks, "Where did Jesus come from?" you can point to those genealogies to trace his ancestry, all the way back to Abraham and even to Adam. Now we get to the interesting part of the story. When people asked in Jesus' day where he came from, the answer was Nazareth. When people investigated further, as the scribes and the Pharisees did, they found that he came from the house of Joseph of Nazareth. Therefore, they concluded that Joseph was Jesus' father. When the investigators talked to the people of Nazareth, they heard various stories from 30 years previous. The people remembered that the wedding of Jesus and Mary was somewhat spur of the moment. Several months prior, in the synagogue one Sabbath, the rabbi had announced the engagement of Joseph to Mary. As was the custom of the day, the date of the wedding was also announced. So everybody knew when Joseph and Mary were supposed to get married. Now, we don't know the schedule and timing of all these things, but it was enough for people to notice the sudden haste of the wedding. Shortly after the impromptu wedding, it became obvious that Mary was pregnant. As you know, the development of the fetus takes time. It was no different with Jesus. So the people of Nazareth concluded that Joseph and Mary had sexual relations during the time of their engagement. And this was not illegal according to their laws, because they were already legally married in the eyes of their laws. Our marriage and engagement laws are different in this respect. In our country, you're not legally married until the day of your wedding or on the day that you see a justice of the peace. In any event, no matter what people had heard or seen, they still all thought that Joseph was the biological father of Jesus. And who would have thought anything different? But Matthew tells us the rest of the story. We know from Luke chapter 2, verse 27, that the angel Gabriel came to Mary after her engagement to Joseph. With her permission, the Holy Ghost came upon her and made her pregnant. In 3 or 4 months' time, she began to show, and Joseph found out about it. Did Joseph talk to Mary about this when he found out about it? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We do know that Joseph knew that he was not the father. He believed that she must have committed adultery, which was punishable by stoning to death. If Joseph had told the courts or the public what he knew, she would have been dragged to the yard outside of her father's house, and the people would have stoned her and the child, if he was born, to death, in accord with the laws of Moses. That is what they did with adulterers and fornicators in those days. And the sin of Mary would have stained her family for many generations. Joseph wanted to do the right thing, which first was not to marry an adulterer. But he was also a merciful man. As his son Jesus later said, "Blessed are the merciful," Matthew 5, verse 7. Joseph decided that the only way to be both just and merciful was to divorce Mary, as he could do by the law. This could be done in the marriage courts without publicity. Then people would think that the baby was Joseph's child. They would think that Joseph had divorced Mary and renounced the child for personal reasons. This was Joseph's plan for the first Christmas. But God intervened. The angel told Joseph to take Mary home immediately as his wife. The angel explained to Joseph that the child was not born of adultery, but of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph obeyed the angel. Thus, he and Mary knew Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, while everybody else thought that Joseph was the biological father. And this is what everybody thought about Jesus until the apostles later asked Mary about Jesus' origins. She is the one who told Luke and Matthew the true story of Christmas after Jesus had ascended to heaven. Now, this seems like a lot of fuss, just for God to give birth to his son through a human woman. Indeed, the Greek myths about their demigods, like Hercules and Achilles, are nowhere near so complicated. But that is because God wanted his son to be born with King David as his direct ancestor, both legally through the father and biologically through the mother. God wanted this ancestry so that there could be no questioning Jesus' identity as the promised Messiah. As soon as Joseph and Mary had announced their engagement, God the Father looked with favor on this conjunction of two Davidic dynastic lines. And when he saw that Mary and Joseph were going to get married, God said to the angels, "That's the family I want my son to be raised in. Go and make it happen." What does this mean? It means that Jesus was of both royal blood and royal title. So all Jews, according to their laws and revelation, must proclaim him their Lord and King. But of course, the Jews don't. But all those people, either Jew or Gentile, who do proclaim Jesus to be their Lord and King, who believe his words, who repent and are baptized, and who earnestly desire to obey his law and commandments, are members of his kingdom. Romans chapter 10, 11 to 13. They are God's people today. We are God's people today, here on earth. And we will be someday there in heaven, with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the angels, and all the saints, in the New Jerusalem, and the New Heaven, and the New Earth. May our Lord Jesus Christ send you his Holy Spirit this evening and throughout the coming new year, so that you too may acknowledge him as your Lord and King. In Jesus' name, Amen.